Hello and welcome to FPL Happy Hour episode. Oh, I said that wrong. Not already. Hello and welcome to FPL Happy Hour episode 2 of season 4. And we're live with myself, Sham, otherwise known as FPL 2 Guys 1 Cup on Twitter.
And myself, Rob, otherwise known as FPL Panda.
And we're back again for episode 2. How are you, Rob?
All good. Recovered from the weekend. Had a bit of a messy one on Saturday after I went up to Spurs with the old man and had a few beverages, but yeah, all recovered now.
Nice. So I was at Fest on Friday night.
Yeah, how did that go?
Yeah, really good. It was decent.
After your wedding, you snuck away from the wedding. Well, not your wedding.
Not my wedding. No, I was at a registry and a lunch, which I was best man for, and then finished at like 4-ish and then went to Fest. So yeah, it was pretty good. I was pretty much on the same team that I finished up on, but I was like, ended up with like 2.5 million in the bank. And then I was like, okay, I'll do Neto to Rashford. And then at 3 minutes to deadline, I had Haaland and Kulusevski in my side with nothing on the bank. And then I took them out and switched it back. And basically, as I pressed the submit button at 6:30, it basically came up with a refresh button, and I didn't know what my team was.
Yeah, just sit there for half an hour and wait.
Yeah,
to see what you had.
The team before was Haaland and Kulusevski, and I swapped it to Rashford and Kane. So, which was shit, and I ended up with obviously Rashford and Kane.
So. It's always the way, though. Right, it would never have. And then if the switch to Haaland and Kulusevski came through, Kane goes and bangs, Rashford actually plays football, and there you go. More on that later.
Yeah, well, let's go through what our agenda today is. So we're going to look at our game week one sides. We're then going to go through our ones to watch. Our hot topic, which this week is what transfers are considered knee jerk, and is wildcard knee jerk, and at what point do you wildcard? What team do you need to have to wildcard? We'll then talk a bit about general football, so West Ham and Man United, and I'm sure you'll talk probably a bit longer having a rant about Man United, Rob. Then we'll talk about any other teams that we may want to discuss, if there is anything. Go through our teams for game week two, and if anyone's in the chat and wants to ask any questions, we can then do a Q&A before we end the stream. So let's go then with our teams for game week one.
Let's go through yours first, because we've touched on yours, haven't we, already? So
yeah, so we ended up with 62 points, my side. Ended up with Ramsdale, TAA, Robertson, Cancelo and Trippier. So I had Perisic on my side and switched to Trippier after the news that Perisic wasn't going to be starting, basically. And then went with Salah, Bailey, Rashford, Martinelli in the middle. I did have Neto instead of Rashford for a long period of time, and then I swapped to Kulusevski and then went back to Rashford. And then Kane and Jesus up top. And again, I had Haaland in my side and switched to Kane. I think it was unlucky because, you know, those that went Kane knew that they would smash Southampton, and they did smash Southampton. But when was the last time out of, you know, eight possible like returns from, you know, from a goal and an assist, does Kane not deliver? Right, they scored four and he didn't even get a single return. That's, I don't think I've seen that before. So that was really unfortunate. And then I just had the standard bench of Ward, Andreas, Nico Williams and Archer. So scored 62 in the end. The average is 57. So 2.9 million game week rank, just short of 3 million, which is a bit disappointing. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't. Well, I wasn't better at all. I was a lot worse. So yeah, I ended up with Raya in goal. I doubled up in the end on TAA and Robertson with Cancelo. I mean, that Liverpool default performance was unexpected and disappointing. I thought that, like, potentially those three, I was more concerned about Cancelo than I was about the other two. So I was thinking, oh, that's a good foundation, three clean sheets at the back there. I was 50-50 between Rashford and Martinelli all Friday afternoon, but it would have left me with a fair bit in the bank, and I already have a million in the bank, so I wanted to spend that bit of extra on Martinelli. That didn't go the right way. Yeah, Neto showed moments. Wolves a bit disappointing, really, against Leeds. Same with Mbeumo. He was brilliant in pre-season. But I think Brentford showed a lot of promise against Leicester. I think there will be opportunities. I always knew the sort of first two or three weeks from Brentford would be tough. But then after that, they've got a nice run of fixtures. And that's what I've bought Mbeumo in for. So, I mean, the way we played on Sunday against Brighton, I wouldn't even be surprised if he got some form of return against us on Saturday evening. So, yeah, no need to panic there. Kane, like you said, you'd expected some form of return there. And Jesus as well, I think. He got in the right positions and had a couple of good chances. I think he should have come away with at least two assists on Friday night. And yeah, it was just unlucky.
Although, do you know what his XA was?
It wasn't very high.
Zero.
Is it zero? I think it's probably...
Yeah, which is surprising.
I think I saw it at 0.3. I'm going to double check that. Zero. I'm sure I saw...
Well, if it's wrong, James from Planet FPL was wrong because it's he said it was on his podcast today. So I'm blaming him if it's wrong.
I'm sure.
But on understat, it was zero. But the reason why he was saying was zero was the assists that he would have got, the two assists, they were FPL assists. There wouldn't have been actual assists.
It was zero. It was zero.
Yeah.
An XG, though, so, 0.14.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an absolute disaster. I mean, I think he's still brilliant value. Like,
yeah,
8 million against a team that is going to be fighting for a top four spot. You're going to expect over the course of the season, he's going to score 15 to 20 goals because he's shown at City that he is he's a brilliant goal scorer and creator of goals. He's going to pick up return. I reckon like he should get 20 plus attacking returns over the season.
I'm with you on that one.
For an 8 million forward is like brilliant, isn't it? Like you'd pay 9 to 10 million for that. I still think he's great value. And I mean, he's not going anywhere from my team. Straight away. I think it's one of those weeks, like it's game week one, lots of 50-50s for a lot of people went the wrong way. And then lots of 50-50s for a lot of people went the right way. You don't have, like you've got your pre-season info and everything to go by. Now it's down to business and we've only got 90 minutes worth of information really to go by from everyone else. Like a week ago, everyone was writing Erling Haaland off after his performance in the Charity Shield. Essentially, it's a glorified friendly, isn't it? It's another pre-season game. It's not the real thing. And you saw firsthand at the London Stadium when he's on it, he's on it and he's pretty devastating.
Yeah, more of that shortly. Right, let's move on to our ones to watch. So these are two players that we pick each, players that we are keeping an eye on either to bring in this week or potentially in weeks to come, but players that we think show good promise for future weeks. So the two that I've chosen is Darwin Núñez and Zinchenko. So one of the reasons why I picked Núñez, you could see that Fulham game before he came onto the pitch, the whole team had no shots on target. And as soon as he comes in, he's just on it. And he finished with three shots on target for the game. Nearly scored that goal. I don't think it was quite an assist for Salah. Well, it classes as an assist, yeah, but
I don't think either of them he was trying to do what he was at, what the outcome was.
No.
The goal he got quite lucky, and the assist, I think he's trying to take it first time on the side foot, to divert it towards the goal, and completely fluffs it. But is what it is.
Yeah. Either way, I think he's on it, and I think he'll soon start to be that number nine to start up top for Liverpool. Either way, you know, he'll come on for the last half an hour, as we saw at Craven Cottage, and be on it and deliver. You know, he got goal and assist in the space of half an hour. So I think Darwin Núñez is definitely one to watch. He'll be in our side shortly. Don't know if we should be making that move yet, but definitely in the next couple of weeks, I think it's one to keep an eye on. And then Zinchenko, I was watching the Arsenal game and he was playing playing as high as Saka. And Saka was probably, I would say, playing like a right wing back position, not quite that high up the field. But Zinchenko was playing as high up him as him. So Zinchenko, I think, is one that we should be keeping an eye on. Already moved up in price. I think he's gone to 5.1 now. Got an assist on the weekend. Arsenal have got a good run of fixtures for the next 8-10 games. So if you've got that spot, you know, some people maybe moving off Perisic now, potentially after having him, after Sessegnon had a good game. And if you are, then Zinchenko is definitely one to keep an eye on. Rob, do you want to go for yours?
So I've gone with two Newcastle players. Because, I mean, we saw Newcastle at the end of last season and they were very good. And it was going to be interesting how they started this season, where they've sort of strengthened in some key areas on the pitch. But there's still a lot of the sort of same faces as well as last year. They mainly strengthened defensively, which I think they needed. So I've gone my ones to watch at the moment. Callum Wilson, who I think at 7.5 million is a nice... He could be good value. I think it's the reason I didn't start with... sort of didn't entertain the idea of him to start with was the 7.5 million price tag, because you don't want to shell out for him and then he gets injured. I think he's someone to keep an eye on, especially like when and if fixtures do turn for Arsenal at stages in the season. He could be someone to bring in for Jesus, or if you've gone with sort of the cheap midfield, so as a third forward. And so for me, it'd probably be more an upgrade from Mbeumo after Brentford's run. I could look at Callum Wilson later on. The reason I'm going to be keeping an eye on him is more of what the players behind him were doing. Now, out of every player over the weekend, four players had seven shot creating actions in their game. One of them was a Leeds player. The other three were Newcastle players. And those three were Saint-Maximin, Bruno Guimarães, and Miguel Almiron. Now, Miguel Almiron is the one that I'm looking at because of his price tag of 5 million, when did he join Newcastle? About 18 months
ago? Years ago?
Did he join in the January a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
So he's had a season and a half where he spent a long time injured. He spent a long time playing under Steve Bruce. We saw it at stages towards the end of last season. Eddie Howe's sort of given him this bit of confidence, I think, to sort of really get out. Because he did arrive at Newcastle under sort of a bit of fanfare because of his performances out in Mexico. He's got the potential to be a reasonably good player. I mean, considering it's new.
2019 he joined, I checked.
Yes, so yeah, 2.5 years ago.
3 years.
5 million. He's someone that I'm eyeing up where I've got Bailey and Neto. If after sort of 2 or 3 weeks they're still disappointing me, I can then look at him as an asset in midfield. You've got game week 2, 3, game week 3 Newcastle got City, game week 5 they've got Liverpool, Palace, West Ham, it's not a horrible fixture, Bournemouth, Fulham, so someone potentially for that game week 7 or game week 8 wild card maybe. Same with Callum Wilson over in Mbeumo, Brentford between 3 and 7 look really good. So, yeah, they're my two at the moment. I think Newcastle are very interesting for this season. I'm not sure if this Madison deal happens. I'm not sure how that affects the rest of the assets. As I said, 7 shot creating actions from 3 different midfielders in your team is quite impressive. So Yeah,
it is indeed.
Definitely something to keep an eye on over the next 2 or 3 weeks. They've got those tricky fixtures though against City and Liverpool.
Right, let's move on then to our hot topic, which is what transfers are considered knee-jerk. A lot of people are wondering whether or not Kane to Haaland is knee-jerk or even a wild card in game week two is. And I thought it'd be a good idea to discuss whether or not what moves would be and what moves wouldn't be. What are your thoughts on it, Rob?
I think like I've said about Neto and Bailey, they're probably a couple of two examples of players that are in a lot of teams. Rashford maybe as well. I think out of the three of them, I'd probably be most concerned about Rashford. The reason you've bought these players into your teams for the start of the season is because you saw something from their pre-season form or from their form of last season. You've seen their fixtures for X amount of games that you're looking towards. If you've planned to make that move to come off of one of them this soon, then yeah, okay. But yeah, knee-jerking into it, there's a reason you've made that decision. You've given them 90 minutes to return on your decision when you shouldn't really be looking for a return from these players every game. Like Bailey probably, you'd be hoping for something, maybe from Villa playing Bournemouth. Would you sell Bailey before he plays Everton at home? Would you sell Neto before he plays Fulham at home? I don't think that would be. I think that would be knee jerk because they're players that have got good fixtures. Rashford away to Brentford. I think there's more concern there because of the money you've got tied up in Rashford. 6.5 when you could get Martinelli in for Leicester at home. Maybe that's more appealing. Like I'm currently looking at actually doing Rashford to Martinelli next week ahead of Arsenal's trip to Bournemouth because that seems like a sensible move to do. I can't see the reason to knee-jerk, especially pulling the wild card when you haven't planned to. There's a reason you picked the 15 players you've picked, and I think you've got to kind of stick by that because you could end like you pick though, like you go in wild card, the team that you had for game week one ends up outscoring your wild card team because all your picks justify themselves in the end. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think the only player that you can justify bringing in and it not being considered knee-jerk is Kane to Haaland, simply because a lot of people had already planned for that. People were taking the risk on having Kane against Southampton and City supposedly having a tougher fixture against West Ham and, not being able to break them down, being the first game for Haaland. So people took that risk. But most of the people that I know, including myself, that went Kane, always had the intention that if Haaland performs in game week one, you bring Kane in, you take Kane out for Haaland. I did that move straight after the game finished because I knew as long as he came out on, away not injured, which he was fine, then there's no need. And obviously I avoided that price rise, and that same night Haaland went up and Kane went down. So it was a worthwhile move for me. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that Kane to Haaland move at all.
Yeah.
I think is quite knee jerk and I wouldn't do it yet.
Yeah. The reason I'd left some money in the bank is because I kind of envisioned a Haaland rise if he did anything after the West Ham game. I just wasn't expecting the sort of numbers that saw him rise and Kane drop. We knew that there'd be a lot of people making that move, but I was not expecting it to be that sort of extreme.
I think it's been 700,000 moves for Haaland in.
Never expected to be that sort of extreme sort of swing of the pendulum from one premium striker to another. I think I was happy to take the 0.1 sort of loss in value if it meant sort of getting a few days of information. But I'm not sure. Yeah, I wasn't too happy about taking the loss of 0.2 in value with Kane dropping as well. So, yeah, I pulled the trigger as well on Sunday evening. And it's not knee-jerk because we sat here a week ago and we said that's most likely our... If we both had Kane, didn't we, in our teams this stage last week. And we said if that's our team, then we'd most likely be going into Haaland for game week two. Because neither of us had any other City coverage other than Cancelo. And that would have been a bit suicidal, I think, going into a Bournemouth at home fixture with one of the best attacking teams in Europe.
Agreed.
Yeah, so it was always going to be a case of making that move, I think. I think the only thing that maybe would have stopped me is if Kane had performed well and I felt I wanted to move from a midfielder into KDB or something like that. But again,
what about for those who've got Perisic or Doherty? Do you think moving now to either Sessegnon or another defender like Zinchenko or something is also knee jerk?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think I'd move to a Sessegnon purely because I think he probably will start against Chelsea. Just purely because of the fitness levels and everything. But then I think you're gonna lose him either in game week three or game week four, I imagine. Because Perisic looked. He looked like he still needed a couple of runouts. So I think that buys you another couple of game weeks. I don't think Conte's the type that would start Perisic at sort of 80% fitness against Chelsea. Another week and a half and he'll be ready for Wolves, or maybe he gives him a bit longer and he's then ready for Forest. Well, I think the Forest game's 4 days after the Wolves game. I think game week four is the midweek. I don't think I'll be jumping into Sessegnon. Zinchenko, maybe. As you said, yeah, he's playing very high up as a wing back. And Arsenal's fixtures do look quite good. I don't think I'll be taking a minus. If you're doing that on top of whatever other, on top of a Kane to Haaland move, I'm not sure I'd take a hit to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's quite unnecessary to be taking a hit at this stage.
No, I agree.
Especially when you know you're wildcarding in three or four. Well, if you're not wildcarding already in. This week you're probably going to be wildcarding in the next sort of 5 or 6 weeks. I think it's a case of riding it out a little bit and just planning your moves wisely rather than sort of jumping on bandwagons and following other people too much.
Okay, dope. Right, let's move away from FPL talk for a little while and let's talk about our own teams, West Ham and Man United. Rob, do you want to talk first? Because I assume you're probably going to be a bit longer wanting to rant.
I'm going to try not to rant because otherwise we're going to sit here every week and I'm going to rant. Sunday, I went into Sunday's game full of hope, full of dreams. Actually, I didn't. I think the moment Martial got injured, I kind of started to realise why it's going to be very much a very similar lineup to what we saw last season. And it was, I think, yeah, apart from Martinez, Martinez, the only new signing in the team, wasn't he, on Sunday? Just disappointing. Just nothing. Oh no, Eriksen started. There we go. 9 out of 11. Disappointing. Just no control defensively, no discipline defensively. I mean, Martinez lucky to still be on the pitch. I saw a meme and it was just like, yeah, Marcus Rocco 2.0 with a picture of Martinez. He was lucky to be on the pitch, lucky not to give away a penalty. It's just same old story, no control in midfield. Fred and McTominay were awful. I think it's not been very surprising that what we've seen from the last sort of 48 hours or so, lots of links with various central midfielders, because that's where there needs to be an improvement. There's no player in there that can win the ball, hold on to the ball, and then move it forward into an attacking phase. You've got Eriksen, you've got Bruno, and you've got players that can take it further into that attacking phase, but no one that can start that off. Because if you've got Bruno or Eriksen starting that off, then they're not going to be there to be the next part of the phase. Just lots of change. I still stand by where I said last week. I think, a good holding midfielder is probably the difference between, and it might have been the difference on Sunday between, losing that game and winning that game, because that's where we lost it. But you had to hand it to Brighton; they were very, they played their game plan really well. Welbeck really troubled Maguire. We always see Maguire struggle with pace, and Welbeck just sort of scared the life out of him at times. It's just need a midfielder, and we're going to need a striker. I think in the second half, Ronaldo showed he can't play that pressing game that Ten Hag wants to play. In the first half we struggled. We're going to need a proper striker to come in.
What's your thoughts on those that have United forward assets, maybe a Rashford or a Sancho?
Well, I've got Rashford, and I'm looking to sell ahead of game.
What's the reason?
I couldn't see anything from, say, in pre-season.
He had a chance, and he was offside, but that was a great save.
Yeah. I took a gamble on Rashford, and he did have a decent pre-season. He looked sharp. Now, whether it was because of, I don't know, whether with Martial up there, they look like they've got a lot more energy. Able to all press together. And it looked like he was getting a lot more space, or whether it was just, I don't know. But I felt like, as my 50-50 of Rashford and Martinelli, I felt I could take a gamble on him, because we have seen in the past he can finish. He can score goals. He can create goals. I think he's just struggling for confidence. But I thought he was past it. I just think, yeah, that game week three is a nice moment to move off because we've got Liverpool at home. I don't think he's going to be getting much in that game, and I can use that money elsewhere, like on Martinelli, who's got Bournemouth away in that game week. But I mean, my mind could change. But I don't think it will change before game week three. I think he'll be well out of my team before he changes my mind. I wouldn't advise buying anyone, really. I'm kind of regretting having Delow inside, although he looked one of the most threatening players at times. He's very direct with how he moves forward with the ball. He gets forward, and I think when Ronaldo's on the pitch, that's the only person he looks for. I mean, it's not a bad player to look for every time, but it's sometimes there's a better option and he'll just look for Ronaldo. Like the little fanboy that Delow is of Ronaldo. He's just like, I just want to give Cristiano assists. There'll be games I play Delow. I'm still umming and ahhing whether I'll play him this week against Brentford. But, yeah, I'm not sure any attacking assets for now are worth it, especially not the sort of more premium one. Sancho, Bruno. Like, I can't see the reason to invest.
Okay, let's talk a bit about West Ham then. So I was at the game on Sunday. Really disappointing game. I think whilst you're playing City, one of the best sides, well, the best side in the world, maybe, you don't expect to get much of the ball, but we just looked sluggish. I didn't feel like we had a great game plan. I said in last week's stream that I was concerned about West Ham this year because what I'd seen from pre-season, we just didn't have any imp. We didn't have any desire. Didn't look like there was no creativity. And that's exactly what I saw on Sunday. Bowen was pretty much inept. He didn't even see anything. He had a shot within the first few minutes. We had a flurry within the first few minutes. And then after that, pretty much nothing. We had a 5-minute period in the second half where we looked like we were going to score just before City score. That was after Scamacca came on. Antonio looked leggy, came off at 52 minutes. Scamacca and Benrahma both came on. Scamacca, whilst he didn't didn't do much, it looked like he had that firepower to want to. He had that really good header that was saved from Edison that was offside anyway, but that was a great save by Edison. But that was a really good opportunity from him. To be honest with you, it's really difficult to tell at the moment how we're going to play because the first game we played was the best against the best team, right? So I don't know how we're going to end up. Just a couple of minutes on City. Haaland's just a beast. They kept on trying to find Haaland. That was it. Pretty much every chance that he had was a big chance. You could just see everyone just trying to feed Haaland, trying to find him. That was their game plan. Just feed it to Haaland and he will score. And he did.
I mean, they've got, like, in the likes of De Bruyne, Foden, Grealish, Bernardo. Well, Bernardo's not going to be there much longer. Mahrez when he comes on. Gundogan. They're all brilliant, like, creative players. And the movement that guy has, like, it's just alien, isn't it? He just knows.
Yeah.
He knows what run to make. He times his runs, but like that second goal
was ridiculous.
He just looked so easy, but it was it was the timing of the pass, the timing of the run. And then he literally just, he just needs to open his body out and slot it home. It just makes it so, and you don't see many goals. You don't see City scoring many goals like that.
No, not because they haven't had a number nine pure goal scorer like that. And so now that they do, all they need to do is find him the ball, play it that way, play the ball to him, and he'll do the rest. That's all they did.
Even with Aguero, he wasn't that sort of striker.
No.
The ball sort of, it was very much sort of ball at his feet or running onto the ball or whatever. Whilst Haaland just seems to have a bit of everything. It was funny, like, I think it was pre-match, they were talking about like where his weaknesses are and how he's quite open about how he's weak in the air. And that, like, probably his best chance of the game was just before he came off. Should have been a hat trick where,
and that header went well in. Over.
Yeah, and it, like, he, if he's good at it, like, a better player in the air, and that's like, Fabianski has no chance because it's so close to the goal. He just has to get a good head on it, get it on target, it's in. So, yeah, he's scary. I think we're going to see, like, we haven't seen any player surpass 25 goals in the league for a while, probably since Aguero in 2016, maybe, or 2017. I think we're going to see him surpass 25 goals easily this season.
No, yeah, definitely.
I think we'll be looking at the in the 30s for him. I'm looking at that. Like, I was thinking, like, the first few weeks, my plan was to do sort of a little hokey cokey between Kane and Haaland, like, to jump off when one player has a good fixture, jump back onto the other when the other has good fixtures. And, like, for the first sort of 7-8 weeks, you can generally do that between the two of them. But now I'm just like, how could I sell him?
No.
I've just bought him, and how, at what point am I going to think, oh shit, he's got no chance this week? Because even against Liverpool, like, we've seen Van Dijk struggle against strikers before. He's going to struggle against Haaland. I don't think there's a defender in the world that can, like, stand up to him and defend against him when he, like, puts in performances like he did on Sunday.
On West Ham and FPL assets, they're a no buy at the moment, I would say, even though we've got a good couple of fixtures coming up. You know, we saw on the weekend how Newcastle tore Forest apart. I still wouldn't buy. There isn't anyone in the side that I think is worth buying at the moment. Bowen didn't show me enough to be able to say that he's on it. I wouldn't be looking at West Ham assets now.
Do you think it's with the injuries defensively? Do you think there's just not a balance to the side?
I don't know. It's difficult to tell because we played City and they're always going to dominate the ball. Whereas next week, I imagine we're going to dominate the ball against Forest. So I'll get a better idea as to what assets to look at. And I just think it's difficult to be able to establish when you're playing the best side in the world where you went wrong. I just felt that from a creativity, we didn't have enough. But at the same time, you don't expect to have that much creativity. Where our game plan last season, where we drew 2-2 with them last game of the season, was we hit them on the break. But there just wasn't that this game. I just didn't see those glimpses. Whereas that game, we played really, really well.
I mean, because stuff like that, I'm just thinking whether that comes from having a confidence in the defence for, like, when you win the ball in your own half or in your own third, having that confidence in the defence just to for the midfielders and for the attackers to just go, which I think in that City game at the end of last season, I think there was that confidence for the players just to go.
It's possible.
Because they knew that the players behind it, they've got this. Let's go, get the ball forward, get it up there quickly, try and overload where City do push a lot of players high up the pitch. Like you see Walker and Cancelo on Sunday, like their heat maps, they were like centre midfielders.
Yeah.
Like they were playing as in
Cancelo was wingers. Not playing left back.
No.
At all.
They were playing as midfield the whole or game. As sort of right attacking midfield and left attacking midfield. Whereas, and then the likes of Grealish, Foden, Bernardo, Mahrez were playing as the wingers. And yeah, that gives you that opportunity to, when you win the ball, if you can move the ball quickly forwards, then you're going to have a chance. But yeah, wondering whether they're not being, like, how many defensive players are you missing? Three? Two?
Yeah, so Agüero is injured, Dawson's injured, Diop's about to be sold to Fulham. Yeah, so we haven't got that. Ogbonna's still not fully fit. Well, he is, but he's come back from a long injury.
Yeah, so like...
Ben Johnson playing at centre-back. I was like, bloody hell.
Yeah, with all of that, was there like on Sunday the confidence to be able to move the ball forward like that? I'm not sure.
But yeah, possible.
As you said, we'll see on at the weekend against Forest. I'm sure like Moyes is a good enough manager to we know the style that he likes West Ham to play. They play a quick attacking football, so it'll be interesting. And against the Forest team that made a lot of signings, probably a bit disappointing against Newcastle because there's a lot of players still to bed in. That extra week, they're going to be a little bit stronger as well. So, yeah, be interesting what happens. It's either that or Jesse Lingard's going to just come back to
Well, put your house on it now. Lingard is going to score. right, let's move on to our game week two teams before we end the stream, because I don't think there's anyone in the chat for questions. No questions. So, it's pretty simple this week, isn't it? We've both already done our moves. I've done Kane to Haaland, and I've captained Haaland. Although, there is an argument to captain Salah this week at home to Palace. He's got a good record against Palace. So, those that are looking to captain Salah, I don't blame you. Get the extra points for midfield. But can you see anyone outside of Haaland? What do you think of the Salah captaincy this week, Rob?
I think, yeah, I think it's a 50-50 anyway. I think you side with Haaland because of the better fixture.
It feels like the Havertz and Salah in game week 9 last year, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think...
Haaland's 10 times better than Havertz.
I think if you own both, you're okay. I think Haaland will be the one that will hurt more by not captaining him if he does go off. If that makes sense. I think he outscores Salah, but it's close. I think if I'm buying... I've made that move to Haaland, and I'd always wanted to make that move to Haaland, and I always wanted to captain him against Bournemouth. That's how I'm looking at it. There'll be other weeks where I go with Salah over him, but I think that performance, I could easily see it being 6-7 or more at the weekend. I can't see Haaland coming away with less than 2 attacking returns.
No, I'm with you on that. Okie doke. In which case, that brings us to the end. Is there anything else that we need to discuss or go through before we end the stream?
No. No.
No.
That's about it.
All yeah, good. Just,
yeah, I think it's where a lot of people have moved early, as we did. I don't think, and knowing that we don't want to be taking hits and stuff this early in the season, we're still trusting in those picks we made for game week one. Yeah, it's. I think it's not as much to discuss. I think with an extra weekend of games, we're going to have a bit more information on some of the other players, sort of in that mid-price range, to be able to start looking at who we're going to be thinking about when it comes to using that wild card, because yeah, there is an opportunity to use it really at any time in the next. I think game week 3 is a good opportunity, game week 6 is a good opportunity, and game week 8 are a good opportunity. Like, they're all good opportunities to use the wild card. I'm still leaning towards game week 8, but yeah, there's opportunities to jump on players after this week.
Okie doke. Well, thanks for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter, @FPL_happyhour. We're also on a number of podcasts and our YouTube channel is FPL Happy Hour. Please like, subscribe, and share, and all your retweets are appreciated. Until next week, have a good week. Take care. Bye bye.
Cheers, guys.